to be human, flesh and bone, the spirit and the soul. If I cannot earn your love by trying to measure up, why do I think I'd lose it in the lows? Somehow you see through my heart, and you welcome me with open arms, just as I.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is not just a good morning. It's TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, or thank goodness it's Friday. How's everybody doing? This is CA, your on-air personality on the iHeartRadio network here at beautiful Faith Studio 1, the iHeartRadio studio up here up top the tower in beautiful downtown Fort Worth. Muggy day, windy day, going to be windy the next couple of days. Hey, guess what today is? Not just TGIF, thank goodness it's Friday, or thank God it's Friday. Hey, it's Billy Graham Fridays. How about that? We kind of got it into a rhyme. And I've got a new character that's going to be entering in the building today. The Inspector. That's right. We got some music coming up for the Inspector here in a little while. And I hope you guys enjoy him. Well, I hope everybody's been doing well. I hope that your week has been going good. If you've had challenges in life, just hang in there. Know that God has you, and that everything's going to be okay. Before we get started and talk a little bit what's going to happen on our morning show this morning, I want to remind you, as always, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions, feel free, guys. You can email me up top the studio here. It's morningsbrew@gmail.com. Morningsbrew@gmail.com. You guys are going to kind of forgive me a little bit. I have really been battling the allergies this week. I didn't know if I was going to get the Billy Graham show in on Friday, but I'm not going to let Satan disrupt that. Okay. All right. And I have been taking my allergy medicines. I've had a lot of you guys ask me that. Also, like me on my Facebook page, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Check that like button. Follow me on all my major networks, syndicated on iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Now we've been on a little over a year and a half. Amazon Music. Anybody with Amazon Music, Find me under podcast. Search me up even on the music. It'd come up, the Morning Brew Christian Podcast, with our coffee symbol on there. It may have the new one. It may have the old one. I think it has a new one on there, new logo. I say new logo. It's been about a couple of years. I just haven't had the time to go in there and change it up, but we will. And then, you know, some of these others may have our old logo. No matter what, you'll see it with the coffee beans, okay? Those coffee lovers out there. All right, let's talk about what's going to happen on our show on a Friday. Whoops, wrong one. See, that's why. Forgive me, guys, again. Goodness, take two. Hang on, let me take a sip of coffee. Okay. See, hey, get it together. I know. All right, here we go. This is what's going to happen on our show today. Hit it, Dr. Funk. All right. Billy Graham Fridays. Notice I'm staying calm. Billy Graham Fridays. Today's Billy Graham Friday is going to be on Forgiven, back on a 1987 crusade in Rocky Mountain National, near the National Park area. So I'd be in Denver, Colorado, basically, back in 1987. Called Forgiven, and he's going to be talking about King Manasseh, one of the most meanest kings ever. We've talked about him before. You have to go back way back on our podcast. Also, we've got the inspector coming up here in just a little while. And we've got our Friday coffee song. Having a CA moment this morning. See, that's what happens when you take a couple of days off on radio. All right, let's get Jumpin' Jack ready. We haven't done that in a while. Come on, loosen those arms up. Where's Denise Austin when you need her? I'm a friend of hers, by the way, on Facebook. You know, she still does exercising. She's also a big listener on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast. Miss Austin, thank you for listening. God bless you. She still looks beautiful as ever, even in her 60s. Now, she's going to wring my neck on her for that. That's okay. I think she's 62, if I'm not mistaken. Follow her on Facebook, by the way. Denise Austin. Okay? She's the old exercise lady. Young, I should say. All right, here we go. This is CA's Jumpin' Jacks. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's roll. All right. We're going to roll without a Bible devotion today. However, we are going to get ready. How many of you guys are ready for the inspector? I got some inspector music coming on. He's a new guest. He's here at the studio. Came by to visit, and he wants to say a little bit of a hi and everything. And introduce himself to you guys, and he wants to tell you what he does. So let's put a little bit of Peter Gunn, Art of the Music. Let's get his intro going. I don't want to bore you guys with any more long music like that, but you know what, ladies and gentlemen, let's give a cheer. One of our newest members on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. How about a clap? All right, how about some morning krill for him? He'll come on from time to time. All right, laugh at him because of Peter Gunn. I love that music, by the way. Somebody whistle on a Friday for him, will you? Come on, give me a whistle. Yeah, all right. Okay, drum roll. Getting ready. You can always tell. Fanfare. Countdown for the inspector.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, our newest member of the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show, syndicated on iHeartRadio. This morning, up top the tower, as he inspected what he needed inspected here at the studio. Ladies and gentlemen, introduce to you the inspector. Hello, Mr. Inspector, and welcome.
Hey, thank you very much. Hello, everybody. This here's the inspector. Inspector Jones. I just go by Inspector mostly. My last name is Jones.
Okay. That's no problem. How are you doing there, Inspector?
So, yeah, I just want to tell you, you got one of the nicest, cleanest studios I've ever seen.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. You know what today is?
I know. Billy Graham Fridays, right? You do that all the time, and I listen to it all the time.
Well, good. We're out to bless, serve, love people, and be the arms and the feet for Jesus. So, yes, indeed, we are going to be playing Billy Graham Fridays here in a little bit, but we're going to talk to you for a brief bit, and then we're going to go ahead and do our coffee song. You know, we got a Friday coffee song we play, too.
That's another thing I want to tell you, CA. You got one of the best coffee makers at Keurig. That thing is awesome, man. And I heard you were known for pumpkin spice.
I am year-round. There's some select Walmart neighborhood markets and neighborhood stores. There's one actually in Fort Worth that I go to time that does carry pumpkin spice there, Inspector Jones. However, I got to tell you, right now I'm on Hershey's Caramel.
Oh, my goodness gracious, Garcia. Well, that's okay, man. That's okay. Well, listen, I inspected the studio. I inspected parts of the tower. You've got the greatest security people, especially that Sergeant Security Sam is his name.
Yes. He thinks he's a sergeant. Shh, don't tell him. He is the head security man of the tower and of our studio.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm looking over outside your window, and I'll tell you what, it's a hazy day, and these folks, I wish they could see out there, CA. I want to tell you something right now. There's a lot of people out walking to work this morning.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, our norms kind of changed a lot there, Inspector. A lot of people now, they dress casual when they go to work. A lot of them don't really wear the suits unless you're an attorney.
I know, downtown Fort Worth, notorious for attorneys.
That's right. Personal injury, family law, et cetera. Criminal, you name it.
That's right. Well, I just wanted to pop in, and I just wanted to say hi. Hello, everybody. Howdy.
There you go. I appreciate it.
I hear you saddle up all the time at the end of your clothes. Now, where are your horses?
Well, I don't have horses. My grandfather, my late grandfather, had horses. Now, I rode horses on there. I know how to ride a horse. Last time I rode a horse was in Colorado, with my newlywed son and my daughter-in-law that just got married here about 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, I love horses. I haven't rode one in a while, but I know how to ride one. So, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, on closing, saddle up and ride up there, bullseye.
There you go. Absolutely. You know what I want you to do? I want you to hang. I get it, the word hang? Because we're fixing to play, here in a minute, John Waller coffee song. But before I do, I have a quick question for you.
Yeah, go ahead and ask me.
Okay. You know, you were talking about coffee, right?
Oh, yeah. I love coffee.
Okay. Well, that's good. Well, my question to you is this. Do you like Folgers or do you like Maxwell House?
Now, say, you know, just as good as I do. Well, you don't know me that well. But you know that I happen to love Folgers, 100% Colombian.
That's exactly what I get, 100% Folgers Colombian. Absolutely, my friend. That's right. All right, well, you know what? Thank you so much, Inspector. I really greatly appreciate you. And you know what? We're going to kick it off on a Friday. And you can stay tuned and listen. John Wilder, give us a good cup of coffee and Jesus in the morning.
I tried it. A good cup of coffee and Jesus in the morning.
Amen. Exclusively and only on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show. Here we go. It would not be Fridays, like I always say, without John Wilder and the coffee song this morning on the Morning Brew Christian Podcast Show on iHeartRadio. Okay, everybody ready for Billy Graham Fridays? Hope you're coffeeed up. We got a great one. I'm going to go back in time to 1987, back when Crusades were Crusades. And we are going to play, it was in... Actually, it was in Denver, Colorado, at a Rocky, he called it the Rocky Mountain National Crusade. It ran for 3 weeks back in the day, back in 1987. Not his longest one, by the way, his longest one, little history for you, was back in New York at that, no, it was at Madison Square Garden, somewhere, I think that's up in New York, y'all may have to correct me, that he ran about a 5 week crusade there. It overhang that much. Boy, that'd been nice. I'd attend it every day, you know. All right, well, let's enjoy this. It's going to talk about forgiving back in 1987. Dr. Billy Graham on Billy Graham Fridays, and he's going to talk about King Manasseh.
I want to speak tonight from 2 Chronicles, the 33rd chapter, about a man that I think was probably more wicked, more terrible than Stalin or Hitler. And his name was Manasseh. Now the first chapter of Romans, beginning with verse 26. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That last part frightens me, because when you watch the television or a film and you see all of these things going on and you have pleasure in it and you get a vicarious thrill out of it, then you're equally guilty, or I'm equally guilty. And that bothers me when I watch some things on television. You know, I had the privilege of seeing Mr. Kenyatta in his last year as president of Kenya. And I'll never forget that day when we met him, and then his daughter gave a marvelous luncheon for us. She was the mayor of Nairobi. And I remember that they accused him of being head of the Mau Mau. And of course, he disliked the British when the British ruled Kenya. And there was all kinds of guerrilla activities going on, and many deaths and many people were murdered. And when the British finally decided to pull the flag down and turn it over to the people, Mr. Kenyatta was elected president of Kenya. And he got up on the radio. They didn't have television in Kenya at that time. And he got on the radio and he addressed the nation, and the British were frightened as to what he would say, because they thought there might be a great slaughter of British people. And Mr. Kenyatta made his address. And then he said toward the end of his address, I forgive you. You have accused me of many things and you've put me in prison. And I've suffered much. But he said, I want you to know, I forgive you. Will you forgive me? And all over Kenya, there was a relaxation and prayers of thanksgiving, because two sides were forgiving each other, and Kenya has become one of the great countries of all of Africa, and certainly one of the great democracies in Africa. Mr. Moi is now the president of Kenya, and he was vice chairman of our last crusade in Nairobi, because a man dared to stand up and ask the people to forgive him. There have been many terrible people that have lived in history that have lived every bit of what I've just read, 21 things that the Apostle Paul is indicting people of here. One was Hitler. We all know what Hitler did. I've been through those camps in Poland and in Germany and all over where those concentration camps for Jews and other people were. And I've seen something of it. I remember the first time we went to Auschwitz, and I was supposed to make a speech. And I remember that they took a wreath for me to lay. And my wife and I walked up in front of a lot of cameras, and I turned around to make my speech after we'd seen all the horrors that went on in Auschwitz. And I was so moved emotionally, I really couldn't give my speech. I had to read it. I could not see it and could not give it as I had planned to give it. And then there was Stalin, who came along in the Soviet Union, and Mao Zedong in China, and many others in our time that have killed thousands and millions of people and tortured them. And there are many thousands of people in prison still today that are political prisoners, religious prisoners, and so forth. We had a man here the other night that spent 16 years in solitary confinement in one country. And that night, here in this place, he made his commitment to Jesus Christ. And he had thought his way through in that prison in 16 years. And he decided to make a commitment to Christ. I want to speak tonight from 2 Chronicles, the 33rd chapter, about a man that I think was probably more wicked, more terrible than Stalin or Hitler. And his name was Manasseh. He was the son of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah was one of the best kings that Judah or Israel ever had. He labored mightily for his country, brought reforms, and turned the people back to God. But then it came time for Hezekiah to die. And he prayed, "Oh God, don't let me die. Please, oh Lord, spare my life." So the Lord spared him for 15 years. And a few years later, in that 15-year period, was born Manasseh, who became the wickedest of all the kings. Some people live too long. I know people now that I think would have died much. It'd been much better had they died earlier. That's right. But Hezekiah also opened the doors and showed all the treasures that Judah had to the Babylonians. And they came in later under Nebuchadnezzar and stole all that. They said, "We want the riches of Jerusalem and Judah." And they took it. But having lived a full life, the Lord had said to Hezekiah, "Set your house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." But Hezekiah would not accept the will of God. And so he turned to God and begged him to live. He refused to accept death, and he did not set his house in order. Yes, I think some people do live too long. Manasseh became king at the age of 12. And he set himself to undo all the good things that his father had accomplished. He was a very wicked man. The Bible says that he was guilty of some of the worst idolatry in the history of all of Israel or Judah. He set up gods everywhere, even in the temple of God, other gods where people worship. And idolatry is anything that comes between you and God. It's where self is preferred over God, so that all of us here can say in one sense we've been guilty at one time or another of idolatry. And God hates idolatry more than any other sin. And under the law of Moses, a man could be stoned to death for engaging in idolatry. Covetousness, the Bible says, is idolatry. If you covet, if you have greed, and it becomes a sin in your life, it can become idolatry. And when the Apostle Paul was walking around in Athens in his day, he looked at a city, the Bible says, given wholly to idolatry. And Paul warned the Corinthian Greeks, "Flee from idolatry," in 1 Corinthians 10. And Paul defined a Christian to the Thessalonians as someone who had turned to God from idolatry to serve the living and the true God. Are you guilty of idolatry? Is covetousness a part of your life? Is greed a part of your life? The Bible says, keep yourself from idols in 1 John 5. Keep yourself from those idols. Is that little box that we call television, is that your idol? Do you spend time quietly worshiping in front of it? Do you spend more time with it than you do with the Lord in prayer or study of the Bible? What is your idol? We have today almost a worship of film stars, television stars, sports figures, all the rest of it. We can't help but have people in our day that have made instant celebrities on television. And we look to them and we think, oh, wouldn't it be great to be like one of them? I wish you could talk to some of them, how miserable many of them really are, how empty they are. I talked to a man today that's in a show tonight, somewhere around Denver. He happened to be going up on the elevator where we're staying. And I talked to him and he said, "Mr. Graham, I'd much rather be coming out to hear you tonight." He said, "I need what you've got." I said, "Can you come tomorrow night?" He said, "I'm certainly going to try." I hope he does. What is the thing that means more to you? Is it your bank account? Is it sex? Is it drink? Is it drugs? Is it sensual pleasure? What is it? What is it that causes you to be an idolater? And then the second thing that Manasseh was guilty of was immorality. He built altars to Ashtaroth and Baal. Vile and obscene orgies they had. And priests would cut themselves and beat themselves and then commit immorality with the temple priestesses or prostitutes of the temple. The same today. We see it everywhere. The Bible speaks of an evil and adulterous generation, Matthew 12:39. And Peter speaks of an unregenerate society having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. You want to give it up, but you can't. There are relationships you need to break to save your marriage, but you can't. There are thoughts that you have in your mind you'd like to get rid of and be dominated by the thinking of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, but you can't do that. You have no power. If you come to Christ tonight and open your heart to Him, He'll give you a supernatural power, the Holy Spirit, that can help you break away from those relationships. Break away from those things that are wrong. Break away from those things that come between you and God. Ezekiel wrote of those who were old in adultery. Age will not cure you. You may think it will, but it won't. Because our hearts become hard. And the Bible says, he that hardeneth his heart, being often reproved, shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. You can come to a meeting like this and harden your heart. You can hear the gospel, and your heart gets a little bit harder. And sometime you may want to answer the call to Christ, but it may be too late. Is that possible? We'll see in a moment. And then Manasseh had religion. He had religion. Even the devil believes. Nicodemus came to Jesus, and he was a religious leader. And he began to ask Jesus some spiritual questions, religious questions. And Jesus said, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. You're a religious leader, but that's not enough. You go to the temple several times a week. You tithe all that you have. You're a good man, but that's not enough. You need the new birth. You need the Holy Spirit to come from above and change your whole direction of living and change your heart and change your spirit and change your relationship to God. Judas was religious. He was the treasurer of Jesus' little band. The other disciples didn't guess that he was a traitor, but he betrayed our Lord and became one of the great people of history that we look down on as a great traitor. James 1:26 tells us of the men who may seem to be religious, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain, the scripture says. Jesus said, they serve me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. How many of you are like that? You go to church, you serve God with your lips, you sing the songs, you say the creeds, but your heart doesn't belong to Christ. He's not the Lord of your heart. And then Manasseh also worshiped images in disobedience to the second commandment. And here we read that Manasseh made Israel raise up altars for Baal and made groves and worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. All the people were worshipers. They worship the stars. They were deeply involved in the depths of what we might today call astrology. But more than that, today many people, to them it's an innocent game. But to the people of that day and to many people of our day, it's not just an innocent game, it's their religion. And God condemned it. And there's a tragedy when men worshiped and served the creature more than the creator. Man by nature, wrote Isaiah, maketh a god and worshipeth it. Man has to worship. He has to worship something. He has to put something first. And if you reject the true and the living God, you're going to get a god of your own. Jesus predicted God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Who was that truth? That truth was Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's only one truth that counts, and that's the truth that's centered in Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is the embodiment of all truth. And when you come to him, you're coming to the heart and the kernel of all truth in this universe. And then he was a murderer, not just an ordinary murderer. But Manasseh was sadistic. In the early days of the church, the Romans persecuted the church. Many people who were Christians were fed to the lions. They were nailed head down on crosses. Women were tied to the horns of oxen, and they went out into the arena and fought. Christian women. And it says that moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. And God was pronouncing judgment all the time. God said, I'm going to take Judah. And when people hear of what I'm going to do to it, their ears will tingle. It'll be like a man washing a dish, he said, when I get through with Judah. Manasseh had Isaiah the prophet, tradition tells us, Isaiah the prophet sewn in two, cut in two, tied in between two trees, and had him sawed in two. That's how wicked, how terrible, how awful Manasseh was. Hebrews 6:6 says, as long as men reject Christ as Savior and Lord, they would crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. And there are many of us here today that are just like that. We have the same kind of heart Manasseh had. We don't have the power nor the ability to do what he did, but our hearts are like his. Separated from God and capable of all kinds of sins that may not be the outward, terrible, heinous sins that we've been talking about, but they could be jealousy and greed and lust and hate and envy. And then he was a traitor. He betrayed his country. He betrayed God. He betrayed every trust. He defied God and led the nation in idolatry. Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And Jesus said, it had been good for that man if he had not been born. You may betray Christ in a passionate moment for an extra $1,000, for more recognition, for more power in the area that you move in. Manasseh went beyond the sins of other nations that God had blotted out. And we too, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm a sinner, you're a sinner. We've all sinned, and we're under God's judgment. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all, says the scripture. Jeremiah 17, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. Tonight he's searching some of your hearts. Some of you have been in the choir all these nights, and God has been speaking to you, and you haven't yet made your commitment to Christ. Many people here tonight that need Christ. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the heart. Think of God taking your heart and your life and pondering. I have a grandson, our youngest grandson. He's only a year old. He hasn't learned to crawl yet. He hadn't learned to walk yet. I guess he's all right. But he certainly can ponder things. You give him some little something and he'll just sit and look at it for a long time. Then he'll look up into your face and ponders your face. And God ponders our hearts. He searches the heart, studies the heart. And in Psalm 44 it says, shall not God search this out? For he knoweth the secrets of the heart. You can't hide anything from God. Some of you have been watching the hearings in Washington. I'm not going to tell you what I think about them. I haven't watched but a little, but I watched some. And how you can expect someone to remember something that took place 3 or 4 years ago in a private conversation in some other country in another language, I don't know. But you're supposed to know. Sometimes I felt like asking that committee a few questions. But I'm sure that they're doing what they're elected to do. I'm not going to get into that. That's as far into politics as I'm ever going to go. I determined that I was going to stay out of partisan politics. I've been asked over 300 by 300 news organizations to make comments about certain things that have been happening in the world of religion. I haven't made a comment yet. I'm trying to stay out of it. just keep preaching the gospel, because there's nothing coming out of Washington or any of those places that are going to save the world, are going to transform men and women. It's Christ. And God was warning Manasseh all the time. The Bible says that Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. But God warned Manasseh, as John the Baptist did. John the Baptist said to the people of his day, "You're a generation of vipers, and who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come?" And the scripture says, "Be sure your sin will find you out. Someday, somewhere, every sin we've ever committed will find us out. You cannot commit a sin and get away with it. Not one sin. You're going to pay for it. Someday, somewhere. Or the Bible is not true. Or somebody will have to pay for it for you. And thank God that's been done at the cross. Christ took our sins on the cross. You know, I'm going to remember Denver as the clappinest city I've ever been to. Almost. This is one of the few places where you even applaud the man that's going to take the collection. That's sort of new for us. I think they did in Anaheim, though. That was also the, but it is, I say when you applaud, I take it that that's the way we used to say in the olden days, amen. You know, and in the churches they would have in the South, they had amen corner. And when the preacher said something good, he would expect to hear them say amen. And then it says, saying amen to a preacher is like saying sick 'em to a dog. But judgment was going to fall on Manasseh. And God said, "I'm bringing such evil upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears it, both his ears are going to tingle." Not just one, both of them are going to tingle. And the Bible warns that there'll come a day sometime when the harvest will be past and the summer ended and you're not saved. God's judgment fell. And Jerusalem was captured. And all those things they had collected and all the money and all the silver and the gold were carried over to Babylon. And Manasseh was not put to death. He was carried in chains to Babylon and put in a dark, damp dungeon. And there he was with a lashing conscience, tormenting memories. He had time to meditate upon his evil deeds. Do you know what he did? He began to repent. He asked God to forgive him. If you were God, would you forgive him? Would you forgive a man that had done as much as he had done? He had made blood run in Jerusalem, all across the streets, as high as the horse's legs. He had sawn a great prophet like Isaiah in two. He had taken his own sons and given them to one of the gods and burned them up. Would you forgive him even if he asked for forgiveness if you were God? Many of us would not be able to do it. But you don't know God. We never do know the depths of the love of God and the mercy of God and the forgiveness of God. It's hard for us to grasp it. But you know what God did? God forgave him. When he was in trouble, he was in prison, he turned to God whom he should have turned to years ago and led Judah in great revival, but he didn't do it. And multitudes of people never begin to think of their sins or their need of salvation till the hour of pain, a sickness, a bereavement, of death comes. I signed a little card a moment ago for some lady that met me at the entrance there, and she said, "This man just found out he had cancer today. Would you autograph this book?" It was a book to him. We never know. But when that moment comes, we begin to talk about God and about Christ. Maybe God has allowed troubles in your life to drive you to the cross. Manasseh began to pray, God, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And this great God of mercy, which is past our understanding, the scripture says in Numbers 14, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression. In 2 Chronicles 30, it says, the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn his face from you if you turn to him. If you turn to him. Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous of mercy unto all them that call upon thee. If you call upon him, he will forgive. If you repent, he will forgive. If you turn to Christ and trust only in the cross and the blood of Christ, he will forgive. And God's forgiveness goes a lot further than yours and mine. We say, oh yes, I forgive you. God calls it justification. Just as though you had never sinned, you are placed in the sight of God as though you'd never committed a single sin. And the scripture says he cannot even remember your sins. He erases the tapes. They're all erased. He can't remember them. God forgave Manasseh, but more than that, you know what he did? He restored him to his throne in Jerusalem, and he became king again. Can you imagine that? When the thief on the cross, who was a murderer and a robber, prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, remember me when you come to your kingdom. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. At that one moment, Christ forgave him and took him to paradise with him. He didn't have time to be baptized. He didn't have time to do any good works. He had time for nothing except just trust in Christ. And that's what you need to do. Put your whole trust in him. And that's what faith means. Faith means commitment. We commit our lives to him. When I got married, I committed my life to Ruth. Everything I have, she committed to me. It wasn't just feeling. Feelings come and go. It was a lifetime commitment. Because we're committed. We're committed to each other. And in the same way, we're to be committed to Christ forever. And he's committed to us. All the promises of Scripture belong to us that have to do with our personal redemption and salvation. His material prosperity was restored. God forgave his sins. His heart was renewed. The course of his life was changed. It said that he knew that the Lord, he was God. Ezekiel the prophet quotes God as saying, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. He turned from his former sins. He took away the strange gods and the idols out of the house of the Lord. He repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings and commanded his people to serve the Lord God of Israel. If God would do that for Manasseh, he'll do it for you and more. T.W. Wilson told me a story some time ago that he met a man in France who had been tortured during the war by the Nazis, terribly tortured. I can't even describe to you in front of this crowd what was done to him. You couldn't believe it. After the war, this man felt called of God to become a preacher, and he became a preacher to prison camps. And one day he was in Germany, and he went to a prison camp in Germany, and he saw this man who was called the Terrible Dunker, who had hurt so many people and who was responsible for so many deaths. And he went up to him and he said, Dunker, he said, do you remember me? He said, no, I don't believe I do. He said, my name is Reverend so-and-so. Oh, Dunker said, I do remember you. He said, Dunker, he said, if I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I would hate you and I would try to murder you. But I know Christ. And I'm asking you if you would yield your life to Christ and let God forgive you and become a Christian. Dunker looked away and he said, you mean you would ask me that? after all I did to you? He said, yes, because now God gives me the ability to love you. I hate you naturally, but supernaturally, with the Spirit of God living in me, I love you. And the dunker began to cry, and he got down on his knees and gave his life to Christ. That's what God looks the way he looks at you, with mercy and love and forgiveness. He will forgive you. Is it possible to reject him so long that you cannot be forgiven? Of course. If you reject him and your heart gets hard, the Holy Spirit may speak to you and convict you and woo you and give you other opportunities, but you can't hear his voice because your conscience is now dead. But even to the moment of the grave, that offer of forgiveness and salvation is open to anyone.
There we go. That was a great one. I've been wanting to play that for you guys. Had to go back into my archives for Billy Graham, and we found it, Forgiven King Manasseh. So if you have any questions or comments or prayer requests on that, or you need to reach out to me, morningsbrew@gmail.com, morningsbrew@gmail.com. I'm going to close the show out with the Matthew West song. We all love it. We need to forgive, even in difficult times. Forgiveness. Go out and forgive somebody that's hurt you, okay? There we go, my friend Matthew West, and forgiveness. All right, friends, I'm going to saddle up. I'm going to leave Faith Studio 1 in beautiful downtown Fort Worth. Up top the tower, got to get back down and get rolling, get my Friday going. And I hope you guys have a great day. Hope you enjoyed Billy Graham Fridays. Again, we're here to love, serve, encourage. If there's anything we can do, please put it under comments. It has been a rough week for me, as most of y'all know, just in general, a lot of different things going on in my life right now. But I have really been battling the allergies, so my voice has not been 100% this week. So I'm going to just pray that God will intercede on my... So y'all enjoy your Friday, and you guys have a great day. Again, this is CA on the iHeartRadio Network, and we will talk again soon. Bye for now.